Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mavote, and Happy New Year, Happy 2026. So I thought, because we're getting into a new year and you guys do the same thing year after year, and take resolutions that you forget as we go further, I thought maybe there's one resolution I think everybody must take if we want to change our lives. There's a concept called coaching. And I wonder how many of you have a coach, whether it's for your professional life or your personal life, spiritual life. Do you have a coach? So I called on a friend, as I always do, my coach, my very own coach, friend of many, many years, Dr. Mongis Makalima, is in studio with me today. And we're going to talk about coaching in a different context because I think he's a guru. He's an award-winning, internationally acclaimed coach, guys. I didn't bring a Mino here. So start subscribing now because you're listening to a great guy. Greetings to you and Happy New Year.
Hey, good to see you, man. I don't know about Happy New Year.
That's what we are supposed to say. Happy New Year. Yes.
True. I hope it's a Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. Let me start with the most basic question. That may even sound stupid, but I think stupid questions bring out great answers.
Yep.
What is coaching?
Short version. Many people think you can teach a caterpillar how to fly, but you can't because it doesn't have wings.
Yes.
It won't hear you until it actually gets wings, which is like four seasons later. That's what coaching does. It holds you in the meantime while the possibility is happening for you to see the possibility of being a butterfly.
Wow, so it works with the meantime, taking you to where the possibilities can be.
Yeah, because people think coaching is teaching. Actually, as a coach, I'm not teaching you anything. I'm really just believing on your behalf in terms of your aspirations.
Yes.
If you say, I want to be, because I'm number 19, by the way, in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
You hear that? Number 19 in the world, guys, and getting him for free.
And when you say, I want to be the best in the world, it feels like an impossible thing when you are coming from Gotembisa.
Yes.
Right?
When you're a caterpillar.
Yeah. And you, because you think you're complete.
Yes.
But then somebody comes and says, you know, you can fly, my child. And last year, at my year-end function, I was actually talking to my team about this whole idea of privilege.
Yes.
Because people think I'm privileged whenever they meet me. They don't know that I grew up in Gotembisa.
Yeah.
Right?
So like
I was that caterpillar.
Yeah.
But every single time, so I would try to compete and so I was go for room house, 15 people in the house sleeping, and then after a while I got like, no, dude, actually you're right, they are right, you are privileged to have the kind of mindset that you have that is able to actually pull yourself out of the challenge that you are in. I've actually just realized it's such a hard thing to do.
The other concept that keeps on being confused with coaching and intermixed from time to time is mentoring or mentorship.
Yes.
Where's the line?
Mentoring is what people think is coaching
most
of the time. So a mentor is someone who knows stuff. They've been there, done that. And so now they can share some experience in isiZulu, they say indlela ibuzwa kwabaphambili. So that's essentially a mentor. And they don't have to be older than you, right?
But they have walked the path that you're trying to walk.
The path that you're trying to walk. But I think, and this is not my coaching class, so I should be careful. But there's a slight nuance to it because people think as a mentor, I now can tell you what to do because I've been there. That's also not what it looks like because we are different.
Yes.
Like a 1 in 8 billion, that's actually the scary part and the lonely part about being a human being is that there's not a single person like you.
In the entire
universe. So it's lonely in one way.
Yeah.
But it's also fulfilling in another if you embrace it.
Before we get to the heart of this thing, one last question around the general coaching thing. Who needs coaching?
Everybody. Like, if it was up to me, There's 1.3, 1.4 billion people on this continent of Africa. Every single one of us should have a coach.
I would start with the ANC. Or, yeah, or Brown Mokgotsi. But yeah.
No,
so like, you reckon that like all of us
literally
need this.
All of us need a coach. Only because, or the loneliness I've just been speaking about.
Yeah.
Who do you speak to? Who do you tell your deepest, darkest anxieties?
Yes.
Because we are scared, and we'll talk about it just now, but all of us are scared.
Mm-hmm.
And us being scared, we cannot go around telling people how scared we are. I can't meet you.
Because we don't want to be known that we're scared, right?
Yeah. So last year I attended the Top 50 event in London,
yeah.
The Top 50 Coaches event in London and all of those things. And one of the things that was identified as a critical challenge for leaders is this thing of imposter syndrome.
I know about this?
Yes. So many leaders don't even believe they deserve to be in the roles that they're in. Many husbands don't believe they're the best husbands they can be. Many parents don't even know what this parenting thing that they're doing is. It's scary. So every single person then can go to a coach. A coach is not going to make you do anything that you don't want, but they can be there to believe on your behalf.
But if there is one thing, if there's something that you want, they will then help you to work towards this aspiration.
You don't even have to want anything, actually. You just have to be there to want to see yourself. The work of coaching is really about creating first consciousness. And again, I'm laying a foundation because of what you asked me for me to talk about.
Yeah.
The work of coaching is about having to become conscious. Who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you busy with? And then you can take accountability, because then you're not blaming anybody about things that are happening to you. So I started earlier to say, to get out of the township, to get to the highest level in the world, takes a lot.
A lot.
But I didn't see how much of a lot it is until I started talking to a number of people who have done it and then work with people right at the lowest rank. I run a leadership program Kumpumalanga every quarter.
Yeah.
With the young people there. And it is amazing what upbringing can do in the effect that it has on the idea how you believe in yourself.
Yes.
So what coaching then does, first, it gets you to see what are your beliefs? What are you?
What forms you?
Yeah. And once you figure that out, you can decide where do you want to go. So don't even come to say, I want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Just come with, I want to find out who I am.
Yeah.
I want to find out who I am now. And start there. In fact, that should be a commitment for everybody.
For everybody. Yeah.
It should be find out who you are so that you can navigate the world not as how everybody thinks
or conceives you,
you to be. Because we see the world from inside out.
Yeah.
Right? And we think that's who we are. But the world sees us from outside in. And then they respond to us from what we... You're aware that you've never seen your face?
I don't know my face.
And the back of your head?
Yeah.
So who tells you?
Other people.
That's why you need a coach, because they can be honest to you and say, are you aware horo onale a stick on the top of you? Then it starts there.
Okay, now let's get to it. So towards the end of last year, I'm busy doing what I do, wasting time. Then I happen upon a post you wrote in reference to what was then reported about the financial woes of one John Steenhuisen.
Yes.
Like 150,000 rand in the red, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Now everybody's making a joke of it, including his own party, right? I mean, there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah,
but then you came left-wing onto that thing.
Yes.
Because you said, actually, and I'm summarizing it, but we'll talk more about it.
Sure.
You said, actually, this is just one of those clearest signs of why people stay in places that they don't want to stay in, because they're thinking, what if Yeah. I can't get better, right? Yeah, yeah. And you reference the fact that this guy earns a lot of money already.
Yes, about 2 million.
About 2 million rand. He's a minister, right? Yeah, yeah. But here he is still in debt, and like it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and I thought I want to talk about this.
Yes,
because you actually insinuated that a whole lot of us are in spaces that we don't want to be in, but we're scared to move.
Yeah. I was, the first time it hit me, it was about 2006, 2007. So I saw load shedding start because I was working at Eskom at this time. I was working with a number of executives.
Yes.
And I was sitting in the room and I'm supposed to be coaching these people. And everybody was like, but Monges, you don't understand. And I'm like, what do you mean? What don't I understand? Because I'm trying to lift them up to a certain level. They're doing some behaviors that are not very useful for them in this instance. No, you don't understand. And they're innocent, by the way, in this instance. They're just people who are doing work, who are hired. And I'm going to, but guys, I was told I should be, I'm here to coach the leadership of Eskom. Tell me. And then this dude took me through. He was earning about 130,000 rand a month at that time. I'm just a coach, in inverted commas, at least at that time. That's what I thought. And he started breaking it down. This dude, by the time he gets his salary, he is already in the negative because he's in Denfern or in, what's that, in Pretoria on the other side, Go Irene.
Yes.
Right? And then his children... 80,000 rand a month that he has to pay for his children.
For education.
15,000 rand for the X5 BMW that he was driving.
Yes.
15,000 rand for water, electricity, as well as levies whatever.
Yeah. And the madam also has to drive a good car, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good. We haven't spoken about clothes, the Manolo Blahniks, and all of that. These people are stressed. So... when you're like that and you're an executive because you're walking out there in the world and everybody sees you as this identity you are, how do you accept help to say,
yeah,
I don't have money.
Who blind?
Yeah. So this is where the problem starts. Because now they are sitting there having to... in fact, there's language that they used to use in that at that time. Then, so we get strange requests. They know, rationally they know these are the things that they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But they have to do it. And then I asked, but why are you staying? He said, hey, I need the money.
I need the money.
And that's where my study came. Because after that, I was going like, okay, if I'm going to be helping leaders to actually change this continent, I realized courage is a big issue. And courage is an issue when you don't have money or you feel like you're at the bottom rung of the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Yet, I mean, I learned this as a golfer, but I know it's not a golfing phrase. You know, there's a thin line between courage and stupidity.
Yes.
You know, they say. Right?
Yes.
So as I'm sitting there alone in my problems and I'm thinking of being courageous.
Yes.
I also think, but won't that be stupid?
Yes.
And that's why we then get stuck and we don't know.
Because the difference is the calculation.
Yes.
Okay, so calculated courage is the way is what they mean when they say don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
You're calculating. So, but when you're calculating and you realize, oh, I'm coming with minus, where are you going?
So, would you reckon that John Steyn, he's in, and I'm going to talk about parliamentarians.
Yes. Sure, yes.
He is
because
just,
there's plenty of them, actually.
He's just one of many.
Yeah, he's one of many.
Yeah.
He's one of many. And I'm not suggesting anything about the person I'm gonna mention now, because there is a case, I think, that's still ongoing. But I was surprised when I learned about Mem Nosiviwe Mapisangakula, for example. I kept going, man, that money is very little.
Why would I die for
lose my reputation for that? But immediately I started understanding back to that theory, to the theory that I now have that got me sitting here. That says many of us, when we are sitting at the bottom rung of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It doesn't matter how high you are as a leader anyway. Courage is going to be zero.
So are you saying to me, in spite of how high they go, professionally, socially, the makeup is still at the bottom?
Yeah. At the values level, if at the values level, your value is... So for those who don't understand the Maslow hierarchy of needs, there's about five, right? So right at the bottom is, I want to just protect myself. I want to live. Yeah. I want to eat, right? That's level
clothes
one.
Clothes on my body, and that's it,
Level two is, I wanna create some kind of certainty for myself, continuity. When I wake up in the morning,
What am I doing? What is my
something happens. I have an antenna. And then the level three, and I'm going to just mention the three, because they are the ones where the danger is. And people need to be waking themselves out of those three levels, right? At least spiritually and psychologically. The third one is relationships, where I want to belong somewhere. I want to connect somewhere, you know, I want to be part of it. Those three, there's nothing wrong with them at the basic, because that's how we are designed. First, and we did a study in 2000, long time ago, on the street people, because people got like, Maslow doesn't apply to Africans. I'm like, you guys don't know. We did the study on the street people, the indigent.
Yes.
And it was so visible. In the indigent, they don't mind what they look like. They can go into the dustbin naked and pull the food. They're not worried about what other people going to say. I get it. But then, once they've eaten, they start now looking around to what are they wearing or looking for a corner somewhere. But first they must eat because they have to protect this. They have to protect this air that they are breathing. And then they're going to find a corner somewhere. That's their consistency's place. That's their security.
Yes.
And then once they found that, they find some girlfriend or boyfriend somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then they are part of some kind of a
community,
group.
Right?
It was so visible. It's not funny. It happens with all of us.
So are you suggesting that a whole lot of us, because I don't want to sound like I'm not in that space, a whole lot of us are literally living some kind of I blew it life. Because it's not shown as those guys who get it from RAF and then they blow it, but pretty much a lot of us live that life.
Yeah, and not because we want to, but not because we don't know. We don't know that I'm still at a physiological need, because the problem is not being at a physiological need. It's normal. The issue is knowing when to stop being at the physiological level. And if you don't know how much you need per month to live,
you have a problem.
You have a problem. Because then, where you see greed, where you see
corruption, that's when you start listening to strange requests.
That's when you start listening to strange requests, right? But those strange requests, if you go to level two, security, then what starts happening is that because you are accustomed to a certain level of life, because people get promotions. This year, you're going to get a promotion.
and then we increase the cost of living.
And then you increase the cost of living, and then you're in trouble again because you haven't shifted. So the consciousness of knowing how much your life is worth in value, not money, in value, matters. The last one, in terms of number three, because those are the dangers. The danger at the last level is the idea that I need this relationship.
Yes.
So that's where you find people sitting in really bad relationships that they are not supposed to be in, people sitting in bad employments that they are supposed to be in. You get me?
Yeah.
So if you don't know, if you don't do a calculation for yourself there, that's where corruption comes in.
Somebody's watching us now and they're thinking, Wamunat. You know, it's so easy to say these things.
Yeah.
How do I get to my manager's office tomorrow? I've been unhappy at this bank for the rest of my life.
Yes.
I've got my master's degree. I feel like I'm not moving. They're not paying me enough. But how do I walk into that office and say to this guy, it was nice knowing you?
Forget your manager. Forget your manager. They're not the problem.
Yeah.
The whole, the world is not the problem. It's you.
Okay, now tell me more now.
First.
I wanted to blame someone.
Yeah, no, 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 no. And it's good. It's nice. The masturbation. I don't know if I can say that.
So it's a proper English word.
Yeah. You know, of having to go to blame other people. But it stops you from actually taking accountability for the action. Because you can actually leave. For example, if you already know that I have achieved I was actually going to mention someone, but she's a Mashile girl. She's the sister to Lebo Mashile, yes, the yes. poet. She says something in her her book, How I Became a Millionaire at 25, that one of the things I had to do first was take stock of how much I'm earning and how much is going out. But be real.
Yeah.
These things of I want to belong to the hoi polloi. So at first level, the basic thing, do a budget, but be honest.
Yeah.
Even if it's negative, even if it's minus, do it.
Yeah.
And then decide, why does it look like that? And what can you change? And don't blame the children. No, I have 25 children. I have cousins and black tax. Forget about it. You're making a choice. Because that's the hard part. It's the choices you are making.
And I suspect the very important choice once you're doing that is to declutter.
Yes.
Right? Because the stuff you're keeping in that wardrobe that you should not have
that
in the wardrobe.
That you should not have.
I'm not talking about a budget wardrobe. I'm not talking about,
But also a friend's wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because you might have people, Baron Chomi, let's go out. And then you're going out every weekend.
Yeah.
But do you need to?
Can you afford it?
Can you afford it? But the friends that are taking you out and you are feeding them and you're not calculating, because we actually spend close to 4,000 or 5,000 rand in alcohol most of the time in going out when you're not paying attention. Just normal, a normal, ordinary person. Average, about 4,000 to 5,000 rand in alcohol alone going out.
Don't look at me. It's not talking about me.
It is actually scary because that's a whole rent. If you actually start thinking about it, that's the average number that I saw last year.
So how, and I'm talking about people who have the wherewithal and the ability to do so. I mean, I know they should. All of these people we're mentioning,
which is actually a majority of South Africans, but let's not go there.
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about your middle class people, those who are indebted that they are one salary away from poverty, right?
Yeah.
How do they move themselves out of this rut?
Yeah. Take stock first. Level one. Take it to the numbers, guys. The numbers matter. I know we struggle in this country because many of us didn't do mathematics. We did maths literacy and then Leona. But maybe that's the first step.
Yeah.
Enable yourself to work with the numbers. Numbers matter. And then start working the numbers up, so that you can figure out how much you... And it doesn't matter, Rems, that you get out of debt, because there are two ways that you can do that. You can reduce your debt or reduce your cost, or you can increase your revenue.
Income,
right? But let it be a deliberate increase in revenue. So many people, when they increase the revenue,
they increase the debt.
They increase the debt or they increase the cost.
I buy another car, right?
Buy another car.
You've been having this car for 3 years. Now you've got a promotion.
But can you see what are you doing when you're getting another car? And this is what I liked about this Mashile girl, what she said. She said, I kept my standard the same. After I got my promotion, I kept my standard the same. Mm-hmm. I drove the same car for 5 years, and then I leveled up. I leveled up in terms of all my costs, and I paid up everything with the difference in the income.
I know you said it earlier. But people say, the Mashile woman and this Dr. Makalima people, they don't deal with what we have to deal with. You know, we've got many other problems to deal with. As you mentioned, black tax and blah, 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 and maybe even illegitimate children of 30 years ago, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, you know. And this is where I went to consciousness, right, earlier, to say, go back. Who are you? Who are you to these children? Who are you to this woman that is asking Baba Gasne? Some guys, for example, I'm speaking now for guys for in this instance, I'll come back to the ladies. They don't know that if you actually go to the maintenance court, you actually start creating security for yourself mm-hmm. because you get into an arrangement
yes.
around how much.
Then and you get formalized now.
Yeah, then umamagasne cannot bother you anymore yeah. because there's an arrangement.
yes.
But if you're not taking that conscious step to go there, small things, then you're going to struggle and keep dodging her and keep dodging her.
Yes.
But on the other hand, ladies, I don't know why we need to be buying expensive clothes for our children. I'm doing a very simple example.
A common friend of you and I.
The schools that we are sending our children to, people will go like, township schools don't work. And I'm like, I've worked in the schooling system. I know we cry in this country a lot. But I can tell you, every time, the district,
yeah.
I worked there. In their schools for about 3 years, Mamnomsa coaching. Yes, it was like bad, but bringing it up, I learned a lot about what happens in the schooling systems. But the people that actually make it in those schooling systems still, who are they? If it's not your children,
in truth,
who are they? Because we have the marks that are coming, 85%, 89% pass.
With the 35% pass mark?
It's actually not.
Okay.
That's actually not true. Let's not go there. That's actually not true. It's no longer she here.
She should have hired you to defend it. You know, because now we are stuck with that 35%.
You know who are the 35%, by the way? They are the school leavers.
Yes.
We had a gentleman by the name of Murudu. I hope he's not listening to this thing.
I know the family.
We had a young gentleman by the name of Murudu Kotlasing who they didn't care. They were not there for yes. education. So that's a school leaving mark. They just want to make sure that you leave the school. Yeah. They are freeing you from
yeah.
the school.
They gave you some basic education.
Yeah,
but yeah,
and then get out. But for your children that want to pass, you're okay. Kuma Melodi High.
Until Satu strike.
Until. But then that's your problem.
Yeah.
Because
how is it my problem?
What kind of values have you created in the house that the child depends only on the school?
What
are the complexes around this?
This is so complex.
It's very complex.
You know, I'm trying to sell coaching to people. You're making this complex. They're not going to call you after this episode.
No.
I want them to call you.
Look, it's okay. In fact, I like that they don't call me if you're not ready to work.
Yes.
Because it's not easy. It's not going to be it's not magic. It's not magic. Like, you know, coaching, the way it works, the first thing is you have to want to make a difference. And the fact that you're sitting there, it's a real issue. The fact that you're sitting where you're sitting, whatever position that you're in, is the real world. I work Kumpumalanga with young people.
Yeah.
Can you imagine some of the conditions and some of the families that these people, some of them have their mothers who don't love them, who don't like them. So they come to coaching, they don't even believe that they can be anything.
So
from a coaching perspective, the work that has to happen first, you have to want to be different.
Lastly, typically, every time self-development comes into the room,
yes,
people talk about cost.
Yes.
So, right? People don't do this because, I can't afford mongers, but what about Rava?
Yes. It's true. But the question is, because I don't let money get in the way of people who actually want to change.
Mm.
So talk to me. Let's see. You don't know how much it costs. There are tiers in terms of who I charge.
What?
When I work with executives, I charge them the rate of executives. I kind of have to eat, right? I don't want to be there at the bottom of that Maslow hierarchy.
Yes,
of need.
Yes.
So, now, I don't want to say I'm uncorruptible, but I had someone offer me 150 million rand contract at some point, and I refused it. Because...
So, but they had not brought it already in plastic bags.
Not black bags.
Yes.
No, no.
Okay. That's thank a promissory God. Note.
I still wouldn't take it. But the point is, if you want to change, you will. And because I work on a way of helping lift not just a person, I know that if one person shifts, it's a family that shifts.
Yes.
Let's talk.
Where do they find you?
At Mongezi Simakalima everywhere. On social media.
Dr. Mongezi Simakalima does not use that much, but you know, he's a proper PhD. Proper. not these things that we've been hearing about lately.
No, man.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
It's a limited time, but I think you've opened up a possibility of many other conversations on this platform.
And I hope, Rems, I have made people realize, at least feel the comfort, that our lives are complex. There's no one single answer.
Yeah.
So don't walk around thinking there's one answer to your life.
Yeah.
Speak to somebody. Thank you.
Well, thank you for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please subscribe. Please comment and share this content with others. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.